Let's begin our message today from the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll read that, then I'll bring us once again up to speed on where exactly we are in this discussion. 1 Peter chapter 5. We have been speaking about the devil, and that is more importantly about the victory we have in life, especially as it relates, all right, to the work of the devil. That's what we've been speaking about. And like I said, the emphasis has been, or the cause of it is that I want people to, you know, be free, live in the liberty that Jesus has put them inside. Since last week that I preached here on this matter, I've had a few people, where we went for this afternoon, after I finished sharing with them, I talked, I didn't even know I spoke for that long, it was over 2 hours. And when I finished, one lady came to see me afterwards, said, if you listen to this, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me giving you the gist. Say a few days ago, she dreamt. I said some of the things I said here last time there. She dreamt and she saw the face, somebody with the face of her mother, give her an egg to eat in the dream. And since she woke up, since then, her chest, the thing has remained in her chest. So the thing hasn't gone down. She has been having that thing inside her chest. So I looked at her simply. I said, I will give you a medical word for it. You hear what I said? You didn't hear me. I told her, I will give you a medical word for it. She looked at me. I said, it is called globus hystericus. It's a medical word. It's a psychiatric word. I gave it to her. I said, that's what your problem is. She looked like what does that mean? I said, it means you are afraid. I said, you watch too many home movies. The girl was looking at me like this. Too many home movies. I said, they gave you egg to chop at night. Why shouldn't you just swallow it and thank the Lord? Satan has hooked in your chest. I said, excuse me, there's nothing in your chest. I'm sure there was no prayer. Father, whatever they gave her to her, I said, Jesus said, no, nothing that enters through your mouth can defile you. So just go, go. Don't disturb my soul. There is nothing wrong with you. Your mother is not a witch trying to initiate you. These are the African problems I'm having to deal with. That's why I'm teaching all these teachings. So if they give you egg to chop or dream, swallow it, give the Lord thanks. And don't come and disturb me for prayer. I ain't going to pray for you at all. Why? There's nothing wrong with you. If you give me egg to chop in real life, I will chop them, swallow them. How much more when it's in a dream? Satan has been in her chest. I said, listen, my girl. It's called globus hystericus. Since you, at least, even when you not give chop anything for a dream, the thing sticks in your chest. When you're anxious, no. I mean it as a literal thing. You stay in a psychology clinic, psychiatric clinic. People come with it. Something is in their throat. It's not going down. The psychiatrist knows. This guy is afraid. He's anxious. That's what we've been teaching along these lines. Listen. If there's anything in your throat, swallow it. Amen? Not a witch. They can't do anything to you. That's what we have been explaining. All right? 1 Peter chapter 5. I mean, I've had a number of these things in the last 2 weeks. If I started, you start laughing. People come. I dream somebody wants to kill me. I said, nobody's killing you. Nobody. And in case they wanted to, they can't. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
In case they wanted to, they can't. What is the reason? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Period. That is the reason. What is the reason? Your life is hid with Christ in God. That is the reason. Let all the Ogboni men gather. They can't do anything to you. Let the Ogbanje spirits resurrect in their midst. It will die again. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You are free. Oh. Did you hear what I said? You are free. You are free.
Amen.
Last Saturday after we left here, my wife and I went for a program just down the road. And a man came to preach and told a story along the line. This is what I'm going to. They say one man of God divorced his wife because they found out, listen to this, oh, listen to ignorance. They found out a wife he had married for maybe like 20 years. They found out that she's the witch that's preventing his ministry from moving forward. And the man who was preaching said that he said to them simply, if you have a calling, if you have a ministry from God, no witch can hinder it from going forward. Yes. The only witch that's hindering the man's ministry is that he and his wife, they quarrel every time. He now turned into the woman is in a coven. The woman is not in any coven. Most witches are not in covens. They're just bad people. I don't know what that's my point. A lot of men are their own witches. Now, I told you the commonest witch. Man begins to make money, is happy. Doesn't like his wife again. She doesn't give him attention. Sometimes, truly, because when a woman born many children, not as if she's bad, though, but that the women also, the children also beg for attention. So the man starts feeling, now because he can afford it. Bad behavior is expensive. Sometimes bad behavior is expensive. So the chief now decides that now that he's rich, he go and get a witch. He doesn't call her a witch. Are you getting my point? He calls her a girlfriend. But I'm telling you that is a witch in his life. All the evil in his life, that's where it's coming from. All the wickedness that his enemies were planning against him, that's where they are going to enter through. He leaves himself defenseless. Iniquity is dangerous. That's why the Bible says righteousness delivers from death. When a man walks in unrighteousness, he exposes himself to death. The same man now goes to a blind prophet. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. And said, they are worrying me. And as he's praying for him, he's praying for him in front. The girl's waiting for him at the back. That is the only person that loves me. My wife is now a witch. And the prophet says, before I can pray for you, you must sow a seed for your deliverance. That's why he's in business. So he dips his hand into the pocket, puts a 100K on the table. When the man licks his mouth, he starts prophesying. Every witch, if God answers that prayer, that girl will drop dead suddenly. But God wouldn't bother, because the man who should die first is the one being prayed for. And the man who collected his offering. Two of them. Not being able to discern the real problems in the life of the man. The real source of it. Starts blaming people that are not disturbing him. Life is hard enough. A lot of people don't have your time. They have to eat. He said, I have enemies. Who does it? Jesus has a lot of enemies. And he warned you ahead of time. If you want to follow me, all my enemies are automatically your own. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, let's go with our message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Iniquity is the witchcraft that is killing a lot of people. It's not human beings. There is no Christian, let me say it again, no Christian that the devil can do anything to. The only thing the devil does, we've been talking about here, he steals the word. He tempts people. He tries to deceive them. Once you don't fall for all of this, don't worry. He doesn't have the power against your life. If he had, he wouldn't be discussing with Eve. If he had, he wouldn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be talking plenty English. Has God really said, are you really the Son of God? If you are, turn the stones to bread. You know what he's looking for? Room. Say room. Say it again. The Bible says you don't give room to the devil. He's begging for space, accommodation, any vacancy here. You are following what I'm saying? That's all. And your duty as a believer is to make sure it does not have that room. Your duty as a believer is what? Make sure he doesn't have that space. You can't pray all night to remove a devil you created room for. Did you hear what I said? You cannot, no matter how anointed you are, you can't pray all night for a devil you made room for. There are things that are joined together. You can't pray them away. If wickedness, iniquity, pride especially, is in your life, there are certain demons that follow you around. There's nothing you can do about it, though. If the Lord wants to deliver you, the demon will say, but he has my property. She has my property. Do you follow my point? I said, there's no deliverance by force. This demon, you must come out. They wait outside. I read the story long ago, Emmanuel Eni. He said he went somewhere, followed one girl to church. As soon as he entered, they began to rebuke and cast.
The thing was so hot, all the demons he was carrying ran away. But what did they do? They went outside the church and waited there. As soon as he came out, they entered back again and he continued his normal business. Because they had space in his life. They had room that he made for them. You are getting what I'm saying? They had it. And people say, can a Christian be possessed, obsessed, depressed? Which other rest did they? Whatever it is. I don't know. I don't want to go into those theologies now. That a Christian is recreated in his spirit. Demons can't go there. I don't care. What I know is that the word, when you read the Greek Greek word in the new in the Gospels, when you talked about the man, King James says, was possessed of a spirit. The literal Greek is, was under the influence of a spirit. It doesn't talk about possession. The way you and I talk about possession now, all right, is not properly used in the King James Version. If you use modern versions, they use the word, he has a demon. That's a different one. I don't want to go into that. But the point I'm making is I want to use the word possess in the King James Version. What he was saying is that one way or the other, he's been afflicted by an evil spirit. And can a Christian experience that? The answer is yes. The answer is what? Yes. We discussed some time ago, Paul's thorn in the flesh. I just want to put some words down there again concerning it because Christians often get confused about it. They say what God said to Paul was that he had the power to rebuke it. Very popular in Word of Faith teachings. I'll make it clear and simple. It's not true. It's not true. Paul said it simply. There was, he said, to prevent what? Exaltation above measure. Because of the multitude of revelations that I have, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and I besought the Lord 3 times concerning it, and each time he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. He said, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. How are we ready to say that grace means he can rebuke the devil? I don't understand. Because Paul made something clear there. It is to prevent what? Exaltation above measure. You know what it means? He will never, and that's what God was telling him, you will never feel his presence if there's no risk of pride in your life. I don't know whether I hear what I said. He said, don't worry about it. He said, this manifests when there's a chance that you will become exalted above measure. So fight the exaltation above measure and you will never know there's a thorn in the flesh there. Do you get the principle? So Paul said to God, remove it from me. God said, why? My grace is sufficient for you. That grace, use it to fight your exaltation. Do you get my point? I said, the Christians will focus too much on the devil. The devil is not the problem. I am not saying there are no times you will rebuke the devil. We'll talk about it. Well, we have time. There are. I'm just saying again and again, that assuming in my life I gave the devil room. Then I went for a meeting. I heard the word so powerful, talking about the authority of the believer. And I faced the devil and said, out of my life, he will jump out instantly. Then he will roam around a bit and come back. Is my space still there? Once it is there, he comes back in. Then I begin again and start exercising authority. Then he disappears. And this period between disappearing and reappearing will soon cut down to milliseconds so that effectively he does not go. You disappear, the door is open, the room is there, he comes back again. You force it to go away, the door is open, the room is there, he comes back again. I remember the story, I told it here before, I read it in one of these books by what's the name of this lady now? Rebecca Brown. I am not recommending or unrecommending Rebecca Brown. I just want to illustrate with a story I read in it. I don't know who, whether it was she or she was the one doing or somebody, whether, I don't can't remember. But there was a young woman that was deep into real occultism and real witchcraft and real demon worship and devil worship. And then she gave her life to Christ.
And the demons began to fight. And they fought. And she used to see visions around the lady. And she would see that they will cast out demons from here. You know this kind of thing? From this door. In the name of Jesus, out! The demons will go out. Then they turn. They see them in again. Ah! I'm not taking this here. The demons say, hey, we passed through the back door. They don't want to open. I don't see them. Now, I'm adding my own now. But they will say, okay, we seal the front door. We seal the front door. We seal the front door. The demons say, okay. They wake up next day. Giddy, giddy, giddy. Evil spirit. What happened? She will see in the vision again that the roof is open. The demons have come through the roof. They go pray, 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 pray. The demons go, go. You wake up again next day. The demons are back. Where did they come from? There's a leak under the door. They enter through the, ah! They came in through the roof. They came in from the floor. They came from the walls. After a while, she got tired. Say, oh, no, no, something's going on here. Why are these demons not leaving us alone? Then that was when the revelation came. That the girl had something she was still holding. And what was it? Listen to this, very funny. She had given her life to Christ, but she had not renounced her powers in the occult. Do you hear what I said? She was a Christian witchcraft practitioner. You get what I'm saying? She was now a believer, a fresh believer, just a few days. But when I read it then, what was the issue? When they spoke with her, all this prayer, what did they pray? She was waiting that when they come, I know what to do. Are you getting my point? They have powers to fight them. She was holding it back. So yeah, may not they come. So these people were praying, in the name of Jesus, go away. Said, let them pass first. The one with no fear, may him pass. That she's thinking such thoughts in her mind. And that was what left the door open. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is, no matter how much you cast out those demons, they were coming back. Until that young lady would agree to renounce totally all her connections with the power of darkness. Now, that's how life is. All the wickedness and iniquity in our hearts, in our practices, is what is opening the door for all kinds of demons to afflict us. But not having been taught, you know, there's a statement I've been making again and again, and I'd like to make it again. So it will be another again that I've added to the previous again and again. And what's the statement? This is how you know a false or ignorant prophet. You have problems. You go to him for prayers. And he focuses on your enemies. He focuses on witches. He focuses on the devil. He focuses on all these negative powers and does not make any demands of you concerning righteousness and holiness, righteous living, walking away from iniquity. One or two things. Either is totally false and depends on your offerings for survival. Or two, he's just ignorant. He doesn't know better. God said to the children of Israel, how will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000? Except that their Lord gave them up. Are you getting my point? That it's only if I depart from you that you will start running helter-skelter. That one with the, that they, you see a multitude disappear at the sound of one person coming. He said, you are walking in sin. That's where the problem began. Go and read, I preached a message some time ago which I titled, What's Wrong with a King? Or with a King? What do I mean? That is, Israel came to Samuel and said, we want a king also. And God was angry. And God said, they did not reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. And I wondered for a long time, what was the Lord talking about? Remember, I preached that message. Go and listen to it. What's wrong with a king? Could it be a king? That was the issue. Not really. Because if you, that's just simply the fact that somebody was going to rule. Because you read, judges acted almost like kings over them. And you see, God gave commandments concerning kings even before that time. So what was the problem? Simple. They interpreted, listen to this, they interpreted the source, the cause of their problems as the absence of a king. They never interpreted it as a breakdown in their relationship with God. Because what used to happen was that they would go into sin and the neighbors would get strong and overrun them and they would go into captivity. And then God would raise a judge like Gideon.
God raised a judge like the time of Deborah. You see judges arise here and there and deliver them, but go and check it. Those judges will always, first of all, call them to repentance. And they will pray. They will repent. And you find Gideon will now go ahead and deliver them. And that was a cycle. After a while, they got tired. They said, the problem is that we have no established dynasty. The problem is that we do not have an established kingship. Those people will have raised an army, trained their sons to lead us in battle. We will have had a very strong, you know, military. And they will never go into captivity. They rejected the fact that disobedience to the word of God was always the reason why they went into captivity. So God said to Samuel, listen to me. They have rejected my law as their king. Are you getting my point? Because the Bible said the Lord will be their lawgiver. So once they did, that was what they did. Once they asked for the king, they had rejected God from being their king. What am I trying to say? In the same manner, when we focus so much on devil, witches, we forget that those things actually do not have power over the believer. How will one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000? It said that their rock gave them up. He said, what happens is that God is hiding his face. I say it again, the devil is never the primary problem of the believer. Let's get back to it. That's where we were. We said the problems usually are one of three. What? Ignorance of the word of God in the various ramifications. I won't go over that again. Two, there's what they call what? A just recompense of reward for disobedience. And today I'll talk about the third one, which is what they call the trial of your faith. All right. Now let's continue about that just recompense of reward for disobedience. Quickly, I said she opened to where? 1 Peter 5, let's begin to read it. I'm going to read a long portion, so please follow me. It said, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain or covetousness, was saying. He said, but with eagerness. That is, don't do these things because of what you are going to gain. Don't preach a message that people want to hear so that you can get something out of them. Don't preach a message that will bring more offering. Don't do any of those things. He said, don't do it for sordid gain, but with eagerness. That is, loving the flock and loving the word of God. That's what I was saying by ignorance. That's what he meant by ignorance. Now, verse 3 says, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. That is, the way by which a pastor, all right, is supposed to guide the people of God is primarily by being an example, not by dictating, this is the law, I said so, I am the pastor, I cannot be questioned. Are you getting my point? He said, no, that it should be, first of all, by being an example. Now, let me not stay on that, let me just continue. So, listen to this. He said, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, please follow this closely. Notice that thing I said, by being an example. Then verse 5 says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility. Everybody shout humility. Humility. Toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. For that reason, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the due time, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Now we are down to it. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering have been accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He said, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Just hold that one then. Let's really go to the book of James, chapter 4. Let me read something there. From verse 1, it was talking about the reason why you don't have is because you don't ask. So that leads to quarrels amongst you. It now says, talking about people who love the world. From verse 4, it says, you adulteresses. Now, please, if you remember,
I mentioned just now, 1, 2, 3, verses 1, 2, 3, was talking about people not having because they are asking so as to compete with one another. That's pride. Are you getting my point? It now says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? That adulteress there was not talking about the woman, literally. It was a figurative expression. Are you getting my point? So that applied both to women and to men. As long that the adultery here is talking about departing from Christ. Are you getting my point? And being friendly with the world. That's what I was talking about. And I said, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Please, let me just quickly say this. He was writing this not to Pharisees. He was writing this not to unbelievers. He was writing this to who? To Christians. He was writing to who? Christians. Now, the reason why I needed to emphasize that is because he said it is possible for a Christian to make himself an enemy of God. I want to just emphasize that. So we have to be careful. He said, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? When he said this, he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, we are back to it, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee. Have you noticed that in both circumstances, they emphasized resisting the devil? They did not emphasize casting him out. I don't know what I get my point. What was the emphasis? Resisting. You know what I'm going to explain? The devil's agenda is not what a lot of people think. He doesn't have the power over your life. That's why he's trying to contend for your life and you can refuse. That's what he was saying. You can do what? You can refuse. Please, and there's a reason why I read this. Have I finished reading what I wanted to read? We're in verse what? 7. It said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Please. My people who study half of the scripture. James was writing to who? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves. We're back to the word humility again. In the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. I read these two things to complete what I was saying last time about the source of problems in the life of Christians. We talked about ignorance. Please, go and listen to the message. I don't want to repeat the whole thing again because if I start, I might do that. Then we talked about that's ignorance of God's promises, God's procedures, God's commandments, and then God's their personal testimonies. There are things that are just not supposed to be done only in your life. Somebody else does it, none of your business. Are you getting my point? All right? Now, some people don't know all of these things. So because of that, there's a breakdown in the order in their lives and problems start. They think it's the devil. It's not the devil, primarily. Now we said, sometimes we can describe it like this, that when they deliberately offend against the commandments and the testimonies of God in their lives, that's it. There's a problem comes in what is called a just recompense of reward for disobedience. That's what I'm still talking about. Now, I need to analyze these two scriptures just to close that and go to the next thing. James and Peter are describing the same thing here. And that's why I read that and laid the emphasis. James even used the word sinners. Then, when he was talking about resisting the devil, you see, they kept on explaining that resisting the devil is not the way we do it these days. Get up and say, devil, I resist. No, James and Peter said it. What do? You submit to God, resist the devil. That's the order. Resisting the devil is by first submitting to God. It is not possible to resist the devil except by submitting to God. I was talking about doors earlier. When he says you don't give room to the devil. As an example, a business can exist and the devil is eating it to pieces. and it's a Christian's business. And he gets up and says, devil, get out. And the devil says, I'm not going anywhere. We own this business together. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then they said, okay, go to church and pray. And the man begins to pray. And either in the process of teachings like this, or just a word of knowledge, a revelation, whichever way the man comes to discover that the way I am doing my business, do you understand my point? Is not proper. I owe people, I don't pay. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those who work for me, I pay them very poorly. Even the little money I'm giving them, I deliver it very late. And suddenly discover that there's a scripture that says that the wages of the man who labors should not stay with you till the next day. The Bible says that if that man should cry at night, sorry, God will have to avenge. And that because of covetousness, friendliness with the world, you have turned yourself into an enemy of God, even though you're a child of God. If you have a boss that does that, advise him that it's not for his own good that he's doing that, and it is not to the good of the company that he's doing that. No matter how much, listen to me, no matter how much prayer he prays, no matter how much offering he gives from the proceeds of that business, as long as his workers cry against him to God, he's an enemy of God. Their cry will have effect on him. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So that's why he said, draw near to God. In James 4:8, he said, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. What he was saying, when he says, draw near to God, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, the way by which we resist is not just to shout at Satan, I resist you. No, you humble and submit to God's order. You know, sometimes, let's take marriage as an example. One of the things that the devil hates more than another is harmony between a man and his wife. Are you getting my point? Many women will go and pray. Usually they are the ones that pray. And they are asking for peace back in the home. And listen, disharmony in the home is demonic. When I say demonic now, the devil operates such things. He comes to cause problems. Harmony in the home is spiritual also. It's only God that can grant the kind of peace that we so desire. Only God. So when people start praying against the disharmony that the enemy has put in, and this is a statement we make all the time, it is the devil. It is the devil. And I'm not saying it is not. Please, follow what I'm saying. But I'm saying that let's forget him as a person. Let's ask, how do we resist him? How did he come in the first place? Are you getting my point? So he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That is what resists the devil. It is not the shout of, I resist you, I resist you. No. He said in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, but resist him, how? By firmness of faith. Firm in your faith. You see what I'm going to come back to that again, because two things here, very, very important. So the woman as an example, that's praying, and she cast out that demon for years, and the Holy Spirit says the demon is not going anywhere. For example, you talk to your husband as if he's your son. It doesn't work like that. That is not submission. Are you getting my point? Every time you do that, you open, pray from now till tomorrow. You open a door for the devil of disharmony. Like I said, people now say that it's your enemies. Listen, is it your enemies? Again, yes. But not your enemies. It's your enemy, me, enemy one. And that's called Satan. His word is what? The adversary. It's another name. It's the adversary. It is him, I agree. But the issue is that, how did he get there? Forget, you don't have many enemies. You have only one. And it's always stalking you. I preached a message some time ago. I said, everybody will have a Delilah in his life and in her life. Delilah is a spirit. It's not a girl. Are you getting what I'm saying? Delilah is not a girl. It's a spirit. If you're a man, your Delilah can be a girl.
If you're a woman, your Delilah has to be something also. Are you getting what I'm saying? Delilah day, everywhere. But I said something to you then when I preached that message. I said everybody has a dose of spiritual energy with which to resist Delilah. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. There are many things you will do in life, do you understand? And God won't say anything. But oftentimes there is one thing you will do, and that's what your problem is going to be. And that's what we call your testimony. They are testimonies, personal commandments you don't break. Something as trivial as it looked, cutting of hair. Come on. I was in a barber again today. All you guys with low cuts, you've been to barber this week. Nobody's hanging you yet. Samson went to barber once, involuntarily. Maybe you went, you paid. Samson went once, not even willingly. And that was the end of his life and his ministry. Are you getting my point? But I said also, that why on earth did that happen to Samson? I'm trying to go somewhere now. There's something I want to draw a parallel. Why did that happen to Samson? Before I talk about that, or before I remind us of that, someone asked me that, how do I know the Delilah in my life? I preached that message at was Oko, right? Yes. I said, he now asked, how will I know my Delilah? So that, listen to this, I'll be able to resist her when she comes. And I answered, and that's where I'm going. I said, it is unnecessary. You don't need to know who Delilah is. That's where I'm going. People oftentimes want to know Delilah. Delilah, you won't get me. Delilah, you won't get me. Why did she get Samson? It's not because Samson did not know how to identify Delilah. It was because Samson wasted his energy that God had given him to resist Delilah. And he went to Gaza, and there he saw a woman. And he went to this place, and there he saw a harlot. And he went there, and there he saw a maiden. As he was seeing and going into and coming out and... What was he doing? He was wasting the spiritual energy that God gave him with which he would have resisted Delilah when she would have come. Do you get my point? So instead of wasting your energy, that's what I'm saying now, this is parallel. Instead of wasting the energy saying, who is Delilah? No. Just spend your time conserving the energy that God had given you. Focus on walking in righteousness. Stop going after strange women. And Delilah will never get you. You know what I'm talking about? The devil. We often try to, you see books, analysis of the types of demons. There are demons that float in the air, those that fly by night. There are demons that go in, when you go to market and you buy a ring, a demon jumps into you. I heard those kind of jokes when I was a child also. Some people say, when you go to ring market, don't buy ringo. Some of those rings, they have been soaked. And you buy a ring, you wear it, you become demon-possessed. I have gone to market, I have bought rings in my life. I have never remembered to cast a demon out of one. The demon that has the energy, stay on my finger. Stay now. In case they cook the ring, as I'm paying for it, the demons will carry this and say, oh boy, bad guy, don't buy this one. We'll go after that ring. Let's hope that one sinner will soon come to buy the ring. Yeah, it's true. It's true. If the ring is so powerful, that they can't waste it, the market man will turn on to fight. I've had things like that happen before. Quarter will just break. I'll just drive you away. Go, John, go, go. Yes. He's afraid. This guy takes my ring, he will get the gold without the demons. They have to wait for a sinner to arrive. They wait for the sinner. Where's that one? There he comes. He's an adulterer. Sell him ring. As he carries the ring, the demons will go through his nails, into his blood, into his brain. How? The ones that were residing there before they called, they said, boys, now here, this is the guy. He's the guy that has refused to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. He cannot resist the devil. We will not flee from him. In fact, we are going to sit in his life. If he buys portmanteau, we'll enter inside. No beauty ring. Please. I'm not even going to that issue. It's not about going around identifying demons. It's about
Verse 9, 1 Peter 5. Resist him firm in your faith.